Will Hebblethwaite. The producer was Tom Wolfenden, and it's a Loftus Media production for BBC Radio 3.
Wow, that was an uplifting prom season. I don't know about you, but it was just exactly what I needed. We might have left the Royal Albert Hall, but the proms aren't over yet. The whole season is available for your listening pleasure for 30 days after the last night. You can click on the BBC Sounds app or go to the website. Type in proms. Here we go. There's the one with John Wilson. Yes, I want to listen to that again. There's Tristan, Vikingur Olafsson, oh, John Elliott Gardner. Relive the summer all over again. Listen to any of the 2021 BBC proms right now. Just search for proms on BBC Sounds.
It's 7:30 and it's time now for this evening's Drama on Three, a new production of Dr. Faustus, Christopher Marlowe's tragedy about an ambitious scholar who sells his soul to the devil. It stars Pearl Mackey, Tim McMullen, Francis Tomalty and John Heffernan, who plays both Faustus and Mephistopheles. And it's introduced by the play's director, Emma Harding.
This is Deptford Wharf on the south bank of the River Thames. Just a few metres away from where I'm standing, on a May night in 1593, the playwright Christopher Marlowe was murdered in circumstances that remain a subject of speculation. Across the river, the banks and businesses of Canary Wharf glitter with a promise of boundless wealth, and as I walked here, advertising billboards offered me the secrets of eternal beauty, the symbols of social status, life-changing technology, all the knowledge of the universe just a few clicks away. Marlowe's Dr. Faustus would recognise these temptations, and we, in turn, would recognise a man like Faustus. Fired by hubris, by an appetite for immediate gratification and endless consumption, he's prepared to do anything, to sell his soul, his inner peace, his sanity, in pursuit of money, power and pleasure. Torn between his conscience and his desires, he sinks further and further into his own personal hell. Hell hath no limits, says the devil Mephistopheles, but where we are is hell. Faustus trades his hope of future salvation for 24 years of pleasure. But there's little in the play to suggest this transaction is honoured. Does Mephistopheles ever show him more knowledge than he already had access to in his scholarly books? Are any of the visions Faustus conjures real, or do they rely on other people buying into the myth of his magic? He may talk a good game about becoming more powerful than princes, but after 24 years he's no king or emperor, still a mere scholar, drunkenly carousing with other scholars. Perhaps his deal with the devil, perhaps the devil himself, are just products of his fevered imagination. In this production, Mephistopheles is played by the same actor as Faustus. And in fact, all the supernatural beings bear a curious resemblance to people from Faustus' earthly life. Even the seven deadly sins might be manifestations of his own feelings. Just as Milton would later write in Paradise Lost, the mind is its own place, and in itself can make a heaven of hell. A hell of heaven. But a self-created hell is still a personal catastrophe, and Faustus could be seen as the tragedy of a man who believes he's gaining control over nature, while all the time losing control of himself.
Dr. Faustus by Christopher Marlowe.
Not marching now in fields of Trasimene, where Mars did mate the Carthaginians, nor sporting in the dalliance of love, in courts of kings where state is overturned, nor in the pomp of proud, audacious deeds intends our muse to vaunt her heavenly verse. Only this, gentlemen, we must perform the form of Faustus's fortunes, good or bad. To patient judgments we appeal our plaud and speak for Faustus in his infancy.
I need to push. Oh, time to...
Now is he born. his parents' base of stock, in Germany, within a town called Roda. Of riper years, to Württemberg he went, whereas his kinsmen chiefly brought him up. So soon he profits in divinity the fruitful plot of scholarism graced, that shortly he was graced with doctor's name. Excelling all whose sweet delight disputes in heavenly matters of theology. Till swollen with cunning of a self-conceit, his waxen wings did mount above his reach, and, melting, heavens conspired his overthrow. For, falling to a devilish exercise, and glutted now with learning's golden gifts, he surfeits upon cursed necromancy. Nothing so sweet as magic is to him, which he prefers before his chiefest bliss. And this the man that in his study sits.
Settle thy studies, Faustus, and begin to sound the depth of that thou wilt profess. Having commenced, be a divine in show, yet level at the end of every art. And live and die in Aristotle's works. Sweet analytics, 'tis thou hast ravished me. Bene disere est finis logices, is to dispute well logic's chiefest end. Affords this art no greater miracle? Then read no more. Thou hast attained that end. A greater subject fitteth Faustus' wit. Bid economy farewell, and Galen come. Ubi desinit philosophus, ibi incipit medicus. Be a physician, Faustus. Heap up gold, and be eternized for some wondrous cure. The end of physic is our body's health. Why, Faustus, hast thou not attained that end? Is not thy common talk sound aphorisms? Are not thy bills hung up as monuments, whereby whole cities have escaped the plague, and thousand desperate maladies been eased? Yet art thou still but Faustus, and a man. Couldst thou make men to live eternally, or, being dead, raise them to life again, then this profession were to be esteemed. Physic, farewell. Where is Justinian? Now, if the one and the same thing are bequeathed to two people, one should have the thing itself, the other the value of the thing, etc. A pretty case of paltry legacies. Such is the subject of the Institute, an universal body of the law. This study fits a mercenary drudge who aims at nothing but external trash, too servile and illiberal for me. When all is done, divinity is best. Jerome's Bible, Faustus. View it well. Stipendium peccati mors est. Oh, stipendium, etc. The reward of sin is death. That's hard. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and there's no truth in us. Why then? Belike we must sin, and so consequently die. Aye, we must die an everlasting death. What doctrine call you this? Que sera, sera. What will be, shall be. Divinity adieu. These metaphysics of magicians and necromantic books are heavenly. Lines, circles, scenes, letters and characters, aye. These are those that Faustus most desires. Oh, what a world of profit and delight, of power, of honour, of omnipotence is promised to the studious artisan. All things that move between the quiet poles shall be at my command. Emperors and kings are but obeyed in their several provinces, nor can they raise the wind or rend the clouds, but his dominion that exceeds in this stretcheth as far as doth the mind of man. A sound magician is a mighty god. Here, Faustus. Tire thy brains to gain a deity.
You called, sir?
Wagner, commend me to my dearest friends, the German Valdes and Cornelius. Request them earnestly to visit me.
I will, sir.
Their conference will be a greater help to me than all my labours. Plod I ne'er so fast.
Oh, Faustus, lay that damned book aside and gaze not on it, lest it tempt thy soul and heap God's heavy wrath upon thy head. Read the scriptures. That is blasphemy.
Go forward, Faustus, in that famous art, wherein all nature's treasury is contained. Be thou on earth as Jove is in the sky, lord and commander of these elements.
How am I glutted with conceit of this? Shall I make spirits fetch me what I please? Resolve me of all ambiguities, perform what desperate enterprise I will. I'll have them fly to India for gold, ransack the ocean for orient pearl, and search all corners of the newfound world for pleasant fruits and princely delicates. I'll have them read me strange philosophy and tell the secrets of all foreign kings. I'll have them wall all Germany with brass and make swift Rhine circle fair Württemberg. I'll have them fill the public schools with silk, wherewith the students shall be bravely clad. I'll levy soldiers with the coin they bring and chase the Prince of Parma from our land and reign sole king of all the provinces. Valdes. Sweet Valdes and Cornelius, know that your words have won me at the last to practice magic and concealed arts. Yet not your words only, but mine own fantasy that will receive no object, for my head but ruminates on necromantic skill. Philosophy is odious and obscure. Both law and physic are for petty wits. Divinity is basest of the three. Unpleasant, harsh, contemptible, and vile. 'Tis magic. Magic that hath ravished me. Gentle friends, aid me in this attempt. And I, that have with concise syllogisms gravelled the pastors of the German church and made the flowering pride of Württemberg swarm to my problems as the infernal spirits on sweet Musaeus when he came to hell, will be as cunning as Agrippa was, whose shadow made all Europe honour him.
Faustus, these books, thy wit and our experience, shall make all nations to canonise us. As Indian Moors obey their Spanish lords, so shall the spirits of every element be always serviceable to us three.
Like lions shall they guard us when we please, like Almenrutters with their horsemen's staves, or Lapland giants trotting by our side.
Sometimes like women or unwedded maids, shadowing more beauty in their airy brows than have the white breasts of the Queen of Love.
Oh, from Venice shall they drag huge argosies.
And from America the golden fleece, the year nearly stuffs old Philip's treasury. If learned Faustus will be resolute.
Valdes, as resolute am I in this as thou to live, therefore object it not.
The miracles that magic will perform will make thee vow to study nothing else. He that is grounded in astrology, enriched with tongues, well seen in minerals, hath all the principles magic doth require.
And doubt not, Faustus, but to be renowned and more frequented for this mystery than heretofore the Delphian Oracle. Ah, the spirits tell me they can dry the sea and fetch the treasure of all foreign wrecks.
Aye, all the wealth that our forefathers hid within the massy entrails of the earth. Then tell me, Faustus, what shall we three want to think?
Cornelius, oh, this cheers my soul. Come, show me some demonstrations magical that I may conjure in some lusty grove and have these joys in full possession.
Then haste thee to some solitary grove and bear wise Bacon's and Albertus' works, the Hebrew Psalter and New Testament. And whatsoever else is requisite, we will inform thee ere our conference cease.
Valdes, first let him know the words of art, and then all other ceremonies learned. Faustus may try his cunning by himself.
First, I'll instruct thee in the rudiments, and then wilt thou be perfecter than I.
And come, and dine with me, and after meat, we'll canvass every quiddity thereof. For ere I sleep, I'll try what I can do. This night I'll conjure. Though I die, therefore.
I wonder what's become of Faustus that was wont to make our schools ring with Sic Probo.
That shall we know, for see, here comes his maid.
How now, mistress? Where's thy master?
God in heaven knows.
Why dost not thou know?
Yes, I know, but that follows not.
Go to, wench, leave your jesting and tell us where he is.
Well, that follows not necessary by force of argument that you, being licentiate, should stand upon. Therefore, acknowledge your error and be attentive.
Why dost thou not say thou knewest?
Have you any witness, aunt?
Yes, miss, I heard you.
Well, ask my fellow if I be a thief.
Well, you will not tell us.
Look, truly, my dear brethren, my master is within, at dinner, with Valdes and Cornelius, as this wine, if it could speak, would inform your worships. And so the Lord bless you, preserve you, and keep you. My dear brethren, my dear brethren.
Nay then, I fear he has fallen into that damned art for which they two are infamous through the world.
Were he a stranger, not allied to me, yet should I grieve for him. But come, let us go and inform the rector and see if he by his grave counsel can reclaim him.
Oh, but I fear me nothing can reclaim him.
Yet let us try what we can do.
Aye.
Gloomy shadow of the earth, longing to view Orion's drizzling look, leaps from the Antarctic world unto the sky and dims the welkin with her pitchy breath. Faustus, begin thine incantations, and try if devils will obey thy hest, seeing thou hast prayed and sacrificed to them. Within this circle is Jehovah's name. Forward and backward, anagrammatized. The abbreviated names of holy saints, figures of every adjunct to the heavens, and characters of signs and erring stars by which the spirits are enforced to rise. Then fear not, Faustus. But be resolute and try the uttermost magic can perform. Sint mihi Dei Acherontis propitiae. Valiat Lumen Triplex Jehovah. In ye Arii Aquitani Spiritus Salvate. Orientis Princeps Beelzebub Inferni Ardentis Monarcha. Et Demogorgon Propitiamus Vos ut Periat et Sorgat Mephistopheles. Charge thee to return. Change thy shape. Thou art too ugly to attend on me. Go and return an old Franciscan friar. That holy shape becomes a devil best. I see there's virtue in my heavenly words. Who would not be proficient in this art? How pliant is this Mephistopheles, full of obedience and humility. Such is the force of magic and my spells. Now, Faustus, thou art conjurer laureate that canst command great Mephistopheles. Why don't you come back, Mephistopheles, in the shape of a friar?
Now, Faustus, what wouldst thou have me do?
I charge thee, wait upon me, whilst I live, to do whatever Faustus shall command, be it to make the moon drop from her sphere, or the ocean to overwhelm the world.
I am a servant to great Lucifer, and may not follow thee without his leave. No more than he commands must we perform.
Did not he charge thee to appear to me?
No, I came hither of mine own accord.
Did not my conjuring speeches raise thee? Speak.
That was the cause, but yet per accidens. For when we hear one rack the name of God, abjure the scriptures and his Saviour Christ, we fly in hope to get his glorious soul. Nor will we come unless he use such means whereby he is in danger to be damned. Therefore the shortest cut for conjuring is stoutly to abjure the Trinity and pray devoutly to the Prince of Hell.
Tell me, what is that Lucifer, thy lord?
Archregent and commander of all spirits.
Was not that Lucifer an angel once?
Yes, Faustus, and most dearly loved of God.
How comes it then that he is Prince of Devils?
Oh, by aspiring pride and insolence, for which God threw him from the face of heaven.
And what are you that live with Lucifer?
Unhappy spirits that fell with Lucifer, conspired against our God with Lucifer, and are forever damned with Lucifer.
Where are you damned?
In hell.
How comes it then that thou art out of hell?
Why, this is hell, nor am I out of it. Think'st thou that I, who saw the face of God and tasted the eternal joys of heaven, am not tormented with 10,000 hells in being deprived of everlasting bliss? O Faustus, leave these frivolous demands, which strike a terror to my fainting soul.
What? Is great Mephistopheles so passionate for being deprived of the joys of heaven? Learn thou of Faustus manly fortitude, and scorn those joys thou never shalt possess. Go, bear these tidings to great Lucifer. Seeing Faustus hath incurred eternal death by desperate thoughts against Jove's deity, say he surrenders up to him his soul, so he will spare him 24 years, letting him live in all voluptuousness, having thee ever to attend on me. to give me whatsoever I shall ask, to tell me whatsoever I demand, to slay mine enemies and aid my friends, and always be obedient to my will. Go and return to mighty Lucifer, and meet me in my study at midnight, and then resolve me of thy master's mind.
I will, Faustus.
Had I as many souls as there be stars, I'd give them all for Mephistopheles. By him I'll be great emperor of the world, and make a bridge through the moving air, to pass the ocean with a band of men. I'll join the hills that bind the Afric shore, and make that country continent to Spain, and both contributory to my crown. The emperor shall not live but by my leave, nor any potentate of Germany. Now that I've obtained what I desired, I'll live in speculation of this art till Mephistopheles return again.
Sarah boy, come hither.
Oh, boy! Swoons. Boy, I hope you've seen many boys with such stubble as I have. Boy, quotha.
Tell me, Sirrah, hast thou any comings in?
Aye, and goings out too, you may see else.
Alas, poor slave. See how poverty jesteth in his nakedness. The villain is bare and out of service and so hungry that I know he would give his soul to the devil for a shoulder of mutton, though it would blood roar.
Oh, my soul to the devil for a shoulder of mutton, though 'twere blood raw. Not so, good friend. By your lady, I'd need have it well roasted and good sauce to it if I pay so dear.
Well, wilt thou serve me and I'll make thee go like qui mihi discipulus.
How, in verse?
No, sirrah, in beaten silk and staves acre.
Oh, staves acre. Why, then belike if I were your man, I should be full of vermin.
Well, so thou shalt, whether thou beest with me or no. But, sirrah, leave your jesting, and bind yourself presently unto me for 7 years, or I'll turn all the lice about thee into familiars, and they shall tear thee in pieces.
You may save that labour, they're too familiar with me already. Swoons, they're as bald with my flesh as if they'd paid for the meat and drink.
Well, do you hear, sirrah? Hold, take these guilders.
And what should I do with these?
Why, now, sirrah, thou art at an hour's warning, whensoever or wheresoever the devil shall fetch thee.
The devil?
Well, I will cause two devils presently to fetch thee away. Balliol and Belcher!
Let your Balliol and your Belcher come here and I'll knock them. They were never so knocked since they were devils. See, I should kill one of them. What would folks say? Do you see yonder tall fellow in the round slop? He has killed the devil, so I should be called Kill Devil all the parish over.
Balliol and Belcher, spirits, away.
If I should serve you, would you teach me to raise up Banios and Belchios?
I will teach thee to turn thyself to anything. To a dog, or a cat, or a mouse, or a rat, or anything.
No, no. If you turn me into anything, let it be in the likeness of a little pretty frisking flea, that I may be here and there and everywhere. Oh, I'll tickle the pretty wench's plackets. I'll be amongst them, i' faith.
Well, sirrah, come.
Oh, I'll tickle them. I'll be amongst them, i' faith. Just like a little frisking flea.
Now, Faustus, must thou needs be damned, and canst thou not be saved? What boots it then to think of God or heaven? Away with such vain fancies and despair, despair in God and trust in Beelzebub. Go not backward, no, Faustus. Be resolute. Why waverest thou? Something soundeth in mine ears.
Abjure this magic,
turn to God again.
And Faustus will turn to God again.
To God? He loves thee not. The God thou servest is thine own appetite, wherein is fixed the love of Beelzebub. To him I'll build an altar and a church, and offer lukewarm blood of newborn babes.
Sweet Faustus, leave that execrable art.
Contrition, prayer, repentance. What of them?
Oh, they are means to bring thee unto heaven.
Rather illusions, fruits of lunacy, that make men foolish, that do trust them most.
Sweet Faustus, think of heaven and heavenly things.
No, Faustus, think of honour and of wealth.
Heaven, contrition.
Wealth.
Repentance.
Honour.
Prayer.
Lunacy.
Think of heaven.
Honour. Think of wealth.
Of wealth. Why, the signory of Emden shall be mine. When Mephistopheles shall stand by me, what god can hurt thee, Faustus?
Thou art safe.
Cast no more doubts. Come, Mephistopheles, and bring glad tidings from great Lucifer.
It's not midnight.
Come, Mephistopheles. Veni, veni, Mephistopheles. Now, tell me what says Lucifer, thy lord.
That I shall wait on Faustus whilst he lives, so he will buy my service with his soul.
Already Faustus hath hazarded that for thee.
But, Faustus, thou must bequeath it solemnly, and write a deed of gift with thine own blood, for that security craves great Lucifer. If thou deny it, I will back to hell.
Stay, Mephistopheles, and tell me, what good will my soul do thy lord?
Enlarge his kingdom.
Is that the reason why he tempts us thus?
To the unhappy, it is a comfort to have company in misfortune.
Have you any pain that torture others?
As great as have the human souls of men. But tell me, Faustus, shall I have thy soul? And I will be thy slave and wait on thee, and give thee more than thou hast wit to ask.
Aye, Mephistopheles, I give it thee.
Then, Faustus, stab thine arm courageously, and bind thy soul, that at some certain day great Lucifer may claim it as his own, and then be thou as great as Lucifer.
Lo, Mephistopheles, for love of thee I cut mine arm, and with my proper blood assure my soul to be great Lucifer's chief lord and regent of perpetual night. Oh, if you hear the blood that trickles from mine arm, and let it be propitious for my wish.
But, Faustus, thou must write it in manner of a deed of gift.
Aye, so I will. But, Mephistopheles, my blood congeals, and I can write no more.
I'll fetch thee fire to dissolve it straight.
What might the staying of my blood portend? Is it unwilling I should write this bill? Why streams it not that I may write afresh? Faustus gives to thee his soul. There it stayed. Why shouldst thou not? Is not thy soul thine own? Then write again. Faustus gives to thee his soul.
Here's fire. Come, Faustus. Set it on.
So now my blood begins to clear again. Now will I make an end immediately.
Oh, what will not I do to obtain his soul?
Consummatum est. This bill is ended, and Faustus hath bequeathed his soul to Lucifer. But what is this inscription on mine arm? Homo fuge. Whither should I fly? If unto God, he'd throw me down to hell. My senses are deceived. Here's nothing writ. I see it plain. Here in this place is writ, Homo fuge. Yet shall not Faustus fly.
I'll fetch him somewhat to delight his mind.
Veni, veni, famina pulchra de futuro.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Mr. President.
Speak, Mephistopheles. What means this show?
Nothing, Faustus, but to delight thy mind withal, and to show thee what magic can perform.
But may I raise up spirits when I please?
My Faustus, and do greater things than these.
Then there's enough for 1,000 souls. Here, Mephistopheles, receive this scroll, a deed of gift of body and of soul, but yet conditionally, that thou perform all articles prescribed between us both.
Faustus, I swear by Hell and Lucifer to effect all promises between us made.
Then hear me read them. On these conditions following, that Faustus may be a spirit in form and substance. Secondly, that Mephistopheles shall be his servant and at his command. Thirdly, that Mephistopheles shall do for him and bring him whatsoever he desires. Fourthly, that he shall be in his chamber or house invisible. Lastly, that he shall appear to the said John Faustus at all times in what form or shape whatsoever he please. I, John Faustus of Wurttemberg, doctor, by these presents do give both body and soul to Lucifer, Prince of the East, and his minister Mephistopheles, and furthermore grant unto them that 24 years being expired, the articles above written inviolate, full power to fetch or carry the said John Faustus, body and soul, flesh, blood, or goods, into their habitation, wheresoever. Signed by me, John Faustus.
Speak, Faustus. Do you deliver this as your deed?
Aye, take it. And the devil give thee good on't.
Now, Faustus, ask what thou wilt.
First will I question thee about hell. Tell me, where is the place that men call hell?
Under the heavens?
Aye, but whereabout?
Within the bowels of these elements, where we are tortured and remain forever. Hell hath no limits, nor is circumscribed in one self place. For where we are is hell, and where hell is, there must we ever be. And to conclude, when all the world dissolves and every creature shall be purified, all places shall be hell, that are not heaven.
Come, I think hell's a fable.
I think so still, till experience change thy mind.
Why, think'st thou then that Faustus shall be damned?
Aye, of necessity. For here's the scroll wherein thou hast given thy soul to Lucifer.
Aye, and body too, but what of that? Think'st thou that Faustus is so fond to imagine that after this life there is any pain? Tush! These are trifles and mere old wives' tales.
But Faustus, I am an instance to prove the contrary. For I am damned and am now in hell.
How? Now in hell? Nay, and this be hell, I'll willingly be damned here. What, walking, disputing, etc.? But leaving off this, let me have a wife, the fairest maid in Germany, for I am wanton and lascivious, and cannot live without a wife.
Oh, a wife. I prithee, Faustus, talk not of a wife.
Oh, nay, sweet Mephistopheles, fetch me one, for I will have one.
Well, thou wilt have one? I'll fetch thee a wife, in the devil's name.
Oh, yeah, oh, thank God. Oh, yeah.
Tell me, Faustus, how dost thou like thy wife?
Yeah. Oh, a plague on her for a hot whore.
Yeah.
Tut, Faustus, marriage is but a ceremonial toy. If thou lovest me, think no more of it. I'll cull thee out the fairest courtesans, and bring them every morning to thy bed. She whom thine eye shall like, thy heart shall have. Be she as chaste as was Penelope, as wise as Saba, or as beautiful as was bright Lucifer before his fall.
Enough!
Hold. Take this book. Peruse it thoroughly. The iterating of these lines brings gold. The framing of this circle on the ground brings whirlwinds, tempests, thunder, and lightning. Pronounce this thrice devoutly to thyself, and men in armor shall appear to thee, ready to execute what thou desirest.
Thanks, Mephistopheles. Yet fain would I have a book wherein I might behold all spells and incantations, that I might raise up spirits when I please.
Here they are, in this book.
Now would I have a book wherein I might see all plants, herbs, and trees that grow upon the earth.
Here they are, too.
Nay, let me have one book more, and then I've done, where I might see all characters and planets of the heavens, that I might know their motions and dispositions.
Here they be.
Oh, thou art deceived.
Tart, I warrant thee. Show me the Milky Way.
When I behold the heavens, then I repent and curse thee, wicked Mephistopheles, because thou hast deprived me of those joys.
Why, Faustus, thinkest thou heaven is such a glorious thing? I tell thee, 'tis not half so fair as thou, or any man that breathes on earth.
How provest thou that?
'Twas made for man, therefore is man more excellent.
If it were made for man, 'twas made for me. I will renounce this magic and repent.
Faustus, repent. Yet God will pity thee.
Thou art a spirit. God cannot pity thee.
Who buzzeth in mine ears, I am a spirit. Be I a devil, yet God may pity me. Aye, God will pity me, if I repent.
Aye, but Faustus never shall repent.
My heart so hardened, I cannot repent. Scarce can I name salvation, faith, or heaven, but fearful echoes thunder in mine ears. Faustus, thou art damned. Then swords and knives, poisons, guns, halters, and envenomed steel are laid before me to dispatch myself. And ere this I should have slain myself, had not sweet pleasure conquered deep despair. Have not I made blind Homer sing to me of Alexander's love and Enon's death? Hath not he that built the walls of Thebes with ravishing sound of his melodious harp made music with my Mephistopheles? Why should I die then, or basely despair? I am resolved. Faustus shall ne'er repent. Come, Mephistopheles, let us dispute again and argue of divine astrology. Tell me, are there many heavens above the moon? Are all celestial bodies but one globe, as is the substance of this centric earth?
As are the elements, such are the spheres, mutually folded in each other's orb. And, Faustus, all jointly move upon one axle tree, whose termin is termed the world's wide pole. Nor are the names of Saturn, Mars, or Jupiter feigned, but are erring stars.
Well, resolve me in this question. Why have we not conjunctions, oppositions, aspects, eclipses, all at one time? But in some years we have more, in some less.
Because of unequal motion in respect of the whole.
Well, I am answered. Tell me, who made the world?
I will not.
Sweet Mephistopheles, tell me.
Move me not, for I will not tell thee.
Villain, have I not bound thee to tell me anything?
Aye, that is not against our kingdom. But this is. Think thou on hell, Faustus, for thou art damned.
Think, Faustus, upon God,
that made the world.
Remember this.
I go, accursed spirit, to ugly hell. 'Tis thou hast damned distressed Faustus' soul.
Is't not too late?
Too late?
Never too late if Faustus can repent.
If thou repent, devil shall tear thee in pieces.
Repent, and they shall never raise thy skin.
Oh, Christ, my Saviour! Seek to save distressed Faustus' soul!
Christ cannot save thy soul, for he is just. There's none but I have interest in the same.
Who art thou that look'st so terrible?
I am Lucifer, and this is my companion, Prince in Hell, Beelzebub.
Evening. Oh, Faustus, they are come to fetch away thy soul.
We come to tell thee thou dost injure us. Thou talk'st of Christ. Contrary to thy promise, thou shouldst not think of God. Think of the devil, and of his damn too.
Nor will I, henceforth. Pardon me in this. And Faustus vows never to look to heaven, never to name God or to pray to him, to burn his scriptures, slay his ministers, and make my spirits pull his churches down.
Do so, and we will highly gratify thee.
Faustus, we all come from hell to show thee some pastime. Sit down, and thou shalt see all the seven deadly sins appear in their proper shapes.
That sight will be as pleasing unto me as paradise was to Adam, the first day of his creation.
Talk not of paradise nor creation.
But pardon.
But mark this show. Talk of the devil and nothing else. Come away. Now, Faustus, examine them of their several names and dispositions.
What art thou? The first.
I am pride. I disdain to have any parents. I am at Ovid's flea. I can creep into every corner of a wench. Sometimes, like a periwig, I sit upon her brow, or, like a fan of feathers, I kiss her lips. Indeed I do.
What do I not?
Fie! What a scent is here! I'll not speak another word, except the ground were perfumed and covered with cloth of arras.
What art thou, the second?
I am covetousness, begotten of an old churl in an old leathern bag. And might I have my wish, I would desire that this house and all the people in it were turned to gold, that I might lock you up in my good chest. Oh, my sweet gold!
What art thou, the third?
I am wroth. I neither father nor mother. I leapt out of a lion's mouth when I was scarce half an hour old. And ever since, I've run up and down the world with this case of rapiers, wounding myself when I had nobody to fight withal. I was born in hell, and look to it. For some of you shall be my father.
What art thou, the fourth?
I am envy. Begotten of a chimney sweeper and an oyster wife.
I cannot read, and therefore wish all books were burnt.
I am lean with seeing others eat. Oh, there would come a famine through all the world, that all might die, and I live alone. Then thou shouldst see how fat I would be. But must thou sit? And I stand. Come down with a vengeance.
Oh, away, envious rascal. What art thou, the fifth?
Who I, sir?
I am Gluttony. My parents are all dead, and the devil a penny they have left me but a bare pension, and that is 30 meals a day and 10 bevers. A small trifle to suffice nature. Oh, I come of a royal parentage. My grandfather was a gammon of bacon. My grandmother, a hogshead of claret wine. My godfathers were these. Peter Pickle Herring and Martin Martlemas Beef. Oh, but my godmother, she was a jolly gentlewoman and well beloved in every good town and city. Her name was Mistress Marjorie Marchbeer. Now, Faustus, thou hast heard all my progeny. Wilt thou bid me to supper?
No, I'll see thee hanged. Thou wilt eat up all my victuals.
Then the devil choke thee.
Choke thyself, glutton. What art thou, the sixth?
I am Sloth. I was begotten on a sunny bank where I have lain ever since. And you have done me great injury to bring me from thence. Let me be carried thither again by gluttony and lechery. Oh, not speak another word for a king's ransom.
What are you, Mistress Minx, the seventh and last?
Who, I, sir? I am one that loves an inch of raw mutton better than an ell of fried stockfish. And the first letter of my name begins with L.
Why? To hell. To hell!
Now, Faustus, how dost thou like this? Oh,
this feeds my soul.
Tut, Faustus, in hell is all manner of delight.
Oh, might I see hell and return again. How happy were I then?
Thou shalt. I will send for thee at midnight. In meantime, take this book, peruse it thoroughly, and thou shalt turn thyself into what shape thou wilt.
Great thanks, mighty Lucifer. This will I keep as cherry as my life.
Farewell, Faustus, and think on the devil.
Farewell. Great Lucifer.
Oh, this is admirable. Here I have stolen one of Dr. Faustus' conjuring books, and, i' faith, I mean to search some circles for my own use. Oh. Oh. Now will I make all the maidens in our parish dance at my pleasure, stark naked before me, and so by that means I shall see more than e'er I felt or saw yet.
Robin! Prithee, come away. There's a gentleman tarries to have his horse, and would have his things rubbed and made clean. He's such a chafing with my mistress about it, and she has sent me to look thee out. Prithee, come away!
Keep out! Keep out, or else you are blown up. You are dismembered, Ralph. Keep out, for I am about a roaring piece of work.
Come, what doest thou with that same book? Thou canst not read.
Yes, my master and mistress shall find that I can read.
Hey, why, Robin, what book is that?
What book? Why, the most intolerable book for conjuring that e'er was invented by any brimstone devil.
Canst thou conjure with it?
I can do all these things easily with it. First, I can make thee drunk with Hippocras at any tavern in Europe for nothing. That's one of my conjuring works.
That's nothing.
True. And more. Ralph, if thou hast any mind to Nan Spit, our kitchen maid, then turn her and wind her to thy own use as often as thou wilt, and at midnight.
Oh, brave Robin. Shall I have Nan Spit? Mm-hmm. And to mine own use?
Mm-hmm.
On that condition, I'll feed thy devil with horse bread as long as he lives, for free cost.
No more, sweet Ralph. Let's go and make clean our boots, which lie foul upon our hands, and then to our conjuring in the devil's name.
Learned Faustus, to know the secrets of astronomy graven in the book of Jove's high firmament, did mount himself to scale Olympus' top, being seated in a chariot burning bright, drawn by the strength of yoked dragon's necks. He views the clouds, the planets, and the stars, the tropics, zones and quarters of the sky from the bright circle of the horned moon, even to the height of Primum Mobile. And whirling round with this circumference within the concave compass of the pole, from east to west, his dragons swiftly glide. When Faustus had with pleasure ta'en the view of rarest things and royal courts of kings, he stayed his course, and so returned home. Where such as bear his absence but with grief, I mean his friends and nearest companions, did gratulate his safety with kind words.
Having now passed with delight the stately town of Trier, environed round with airy mountaintops, with walls of flint and deep entrenched lakes, not to be won by any conquering prince. Paris next? Coasting the realm of France, we saw the River Main fall into Rhine, whose banks are set with groves of fruitful vines. Then up to Naples, rich Campania, whose buildings fair and gorgeous to the eye, the streets straight forth, and paved with finest brick, quarter the town in four equivalents. There saw we learned Maro's golden tomb, the way he cut an English mile in length through a rock of stone in one night's space. From thence to Venice, Padua and the rest, in one of which a sumptuous temple stands that threats the stars with her aspiring top.
And in their conference of what befell, touching his journey through the world and air, they put forth questions of astrology, which Faustus answered with such learned skill, as they admired and wondered at his wit. Now is his fame spread forth in every land. Amongst the rest, the emperor is one. Carolus the Fifth, at whose palace now Faustus is feasted amongst his noblemen. What there he did, in trial of his art, I leave untold. Your ears shall hear it performed.
Master Dr. Faustus, I have heard strange report of thy knowledge in the black art, how that none in my empire nor in the whole world can compare with thee for the rare effects of magic. They say thou hast a familiar spirit by whom thou canst accomplish what thou list. This, therefore, is my request, that thou let me see some proof of thy skill, that mine eyes may be witnesses to confirm what mine ears have heard reported. And here I swear to thee, by the honour of mine imperial crown, that whatever thou dost, thou shalt be no ways prejudiced or endamaged.
In faith, he looks as like a conjurer as the Pope to a costermonger.
My gracious sovereign, though I must confess myself far inferior to the report men have published, and nothing answerable to the honour of your imperial majesty, yet for that love and duty binds me thereunto, I am content to do whatsoever your majesty may command me.
Then, Dr. Faustus, mark what I shall say. As I was sometimes solitary set within my closet, sundry thoughts arose about the honour of mine ancestors, how they had won by prowess such exploits, got such riches, subdued so many kingdoms, that we that do succeed, or they that shall hereafter possess our throne, shall, I fear me, ne'er attain to that degree of high renown and great authority. Amongst which kings is Alexander the Great, chief spectacle of the world's preeminence, the bright shining of whose glorious acts lightens the world with his reflecting beams, as when I hear but motion of him, it grieves my soul. I never saw the man. If, therefore, by cunning of thine art, canst raise this man from hollow vaults below, where lies entombed this famous conqueror, and bring with him his beauteous paramour, both in their right shapes, gestures, and attire they used to wear during their time of life, thou shalt both satisfy my just desire and give me cause to praise thee whilst I live.
My gracious lord, I am ready to accomplish your request, so far forth as by art and power of my spirit I am able to perform.
Your faith, that's just nothing at all.
But if it like your grace, it is not in my ability to present before your eyes the true substantial bodies of those two deceased princes, which long since are consumed to dust.
Aye, marry, Master Doctor. Now there's a sign of grace in you, and you will confess the truth.
But such spirits as can lively resemble Alexander and his paramour shall appear before your grace in that manner that they both lived in, in their most flourishing, which, I doubt not, shall sufficiently content your imperial majesty.
Go to, Master Doctor. Let me see them presently.
Do you hear, Master Doctor? You bring Alexander and his paramour before the Emperor.
How then, sir?
If faith, that's as true as Diana turned me to a stag.
No, sir, but when Actaeon died, he left the horns for you. My lord, I must forewarn your majesty that when my spirits present the royal shapes of Alexander and his paramour, your grace demand no questions of the king, but in dumb silence. Let them come and go.
Be it as Faustus please, we are content.
Aye, aye, and I'm content too.
Here they are, my gracious lord.
Feni. Feni. Alexander. Magni.
Oh. Oh. My thoughts are so ravished with sight of this renowned emperor that in mine arms I would have compassed him. But Faustus, since I may not speak to them to satisfy my longing thoughts at full, let me tell thee. I have heard it said that this fair lady, while she lived on earth, had on her neck a little wart or mole. How may I prove that saying to be true?
Your Highness may boldly go and see.
Huh?
Oh. Oh, Faustus, I see it plain. And in this sight thou better pleases me than if I'd gained another monarchy.
Zounds, I could eat myself for anger to think I have been such an ass all this while to stand gaping after the devil's governor and can see nothing.
I'll make you feel something anon, if my art fail me not.
Sure. These are no spirits, but the true substantial bodies of those two deceased princes.
Evanesse!
How now? Sir Knight? Why, I had thought thou hadst been a bachelor, but now I see thou hast a wife that not only gives thee horns, but makes thee wear them. Feel? Oh, on thy head?
Damned rich inexorable dog, bred in the concave of some monstrous rock. How darest thou thus abuse a gentleman?
I am content to release you of his horns, but, Sir Knight, hereafter, speak well of scholars.
Come, Faustus. While the Emperor lives, in recompense of this thy high desert, thou shalt command the state of Germany and live beloved of mighty Charles V.
Now, for dauntless Faustus, the restless course that time doth run with calm and silent foot, shortening his days and thread of vital life, calls for the payment of his latest years. Therefore, made he haste to Württemberg.
Did I not tell thee? We were forever made by this Dr. Faustus book. Here's a simple purchase for horse keepers. Our horses shall eat no hay as long as this lasts.
Oh, Sirrah! You there!
But Robin, here comes the vintner.
Hush! I'll gull him supernaturally.
Soft, sir!
God be with you! Come, Ralph.
Soft, sir. A word with you. I must yet have a goblet paid from you ere you go.
Aye, a goblet, Ralph. Aye, a goblet. I scorn you, and you are but a etc. Aye, a goblet. Search me.
I mean so, sir. With your favour.
How say you now? Search you, Phil.
Now, sir, you may be ashamed to burden honest men with a matter of truth.
Well, one of you hath this goblet about you.
I'll teach you to impeach honest men, sirrah. Stand by. I'll scour you for a goblet. Stand aside. You had best. I charge you in the name of Beelzebub.
Look to the goblet, Ralph. What mean you, sirrah?
I'll tell you what I mean. Sancto Bollocksorum Periphrasticon. Nay, I'll tickle you, vintner.
Look to the goblet, Ralph.
Polypragmos Belsiborums Framanto Bargostophidostos to Mephistopheles, etc.
Wonder!
Nomine Domine! What means thou?
Peccatum peccatorum. Hear thy goblet, good vintner.
Oh, well, I'll be.
Oh, misericordia pro nobis, what shall I do? Good devil, forgive me now, and I'll never rob thy library more.
Monarch of hell, under whose black survey great potentates do kneel with awful fear, upon whose altars thousand souls do lie. How am I vexed with these villains' charms?
Master, good master, I can explain all.
You confounded villains.
I trust never to see thee more.
From Constantinople am I hither come, only for pleasure of these damned slaves.
How, from Constantinople? You've had a great journey.
Well, villains, for your presumption, I transform thee into an ape, and thee into a dog. And so, begone!
Oh! How into an ape! That's brave. I'll have fine sport with the boys. I'll get nuts and apples enough.
And I must be a dog. Woof woof!
In faith, thy head will never be out the pottage pot.
Woof woof!
I think my master means to die shortly, for he hath given to me all his goods. And yet, methinks that if death were near, he would not banquet and carouse and swill amongst the students as even now he doth, who are at supper with such belly cheer as Wagner ne'er beheld in all her life.
Master Dr. Faustus, since our conference about fair ladies, which was the beautifulest in all the world, we have determined with ourselves that Helen of Greece was the admirablest lady that ever lived. Therefore, Master Doctor, if you will do us that favour as to let us see that peerless dame of Greece, whom all the world admires for majesty, we should be much beholden unto you.
Gentlemen, for that I know your friendship is unfeigned, and Faustus' custom is not to deny the just requests of those that wish him well. You shall behold that peerless dame of Greece no other ways for pomp and majesty than when Sir Paris crossed the seas with her and brought the spoils to rich Dardania. But be silent. Danger is in words. Lady. Lady.
See. See there.
A
too simple is my wit to tell her praise, whom all the world admires for majesty.
No marvel, though the angry Greeks pursued with 10 years' war the rape of such a queen, whose heavenly beauty passeth all compare.
Since we have seen the pride of nature's works, and only paragon of excellence, let us depart.
For this glorious deed, happy and blessed be Faustus evermore.
Aye.
Aye.
Spare some coins, sir.
Gentlemen, farewell. The same I wished to you.
Farewell.
Farewell. Farewell.
Just for a little food, sir. Spare some coins, sir, for a hungry woman.
I have none. Leave me be.
Oh, gentle Faustus, leave this damned art. This magic that will charm thy soul to hell and quite bereave thee of salvation.
How do you know my name?
Though thou hast now offended like a man, do not persevere in it like a devil. Yet thou hast an amiable soul. If sin by custom grow not into nature, then, Faustus, will repentance come too late. Then thou art banished from the sight of heaven. No mortal can express the pains of hell. It may be this, my exhortation, seems harsh and all unpleasant. Let it not. For, gentle son, I speak it not in wrath or envy of thee, but in tender love and pity of thy future misery. And so have hope that this my kind rebuke, checking thy body, may amend thy soul.
Where art thou, Faustus? Wretch, what hast thou done? Damned art thou, Faustus, damned. Despair and die. Hell calls for right, and with a roaring voice says, Faustus, come, thine hour is almost come. And Faustus, now, will come to do thee right.
Stay, good Faustus, stay thy desperate steps. I see an angel hovers over thy head, and with a vial full of precious grace, offers to pour the same into thy soul. Then call for mercy and avoid despair.
Oh, my sweet friend, I feel thy words to comfort my distressed soul. I do repent, and yet I do despair. Hell strives with grace for conquest in my breast. What shall I do to shun the snares of death?
Thou traitor, Faustus, I arrest thy soul for disobedience to my sovereign lord. Revolt, or I'll in piecemeal tear thy flesh.
Sweet Mephistopheles, entreat thy lord to pardon my unjust presumption, and with my blood again I will confirm my former vow I made to Lucifer.
Do it then, quickly, with unfeigned heart, lest greater danger do attend thy drift.
Repent, gentle son, repent.
Torment, sweet friend, that base and aged woman, that durst dissuade me from thy Lucifer with greatest torments that our hell affords.
Repent, repent.
Her faith is great. I cannot touch her soul, but what I may afflict her body with I will attempt, which is but little worth.
Accursed Faustus, miserable man, that from thy soul excludes the grace of heaven and flies the throne of his tribunal seat. My faith, vile hell, shall triumph over thee. Hence, hell, for hence I fly unto my God.
Faustus, where is mercy now?
What art thou, Faustus, but a man condemned to die? Thy fatal time doth draw to final end. Despair doth drive distrust into thy thoughts.
One thing, good servant, let me crave of thee to glut the longing of my heart's desire, that I might have unto my paramour that heavenly Helen which I saw of late, whose sweet embracings may extinguish clean those thoughts that do dissuade me from my vow, and keep mine oath I made to Lucifer.
Faustus, this or what else thou shalt desire shall be performed in twinkling of an eye.
Save you, good sir. What else thou shalt desire shall be performed in twinkling of an eye.
Was this the face that launched 1,000 ships and burnt the topless towers of Ilium? Sweet Helen. Make me immortal with a kiss. Her lips suck forth my soul. See where it flies. Come, Helen, come. Give me my soul again.
Oh, I, sir, your soul. That is the very thing I can give you.
I dwell, for heaven is in these lips, and all is dross that is not Helena. I will be Paris, and for love of thee, instead of Troy, shall Wurttemberg be sacked, and I will combat with weak Menelaus, and wear thy colours on my plumed crest. Yea, I will wound Achilles in the heel, and then return to Helen for a... Thou art fairer than the evening air, clad in the beauty of 1,000 stars. Brighter art thou than flaming Jupiter when he appeared to hapless Semele. More lovely than the monarch of the sky in wanton Arethusa's azured arms. And none... but thou shalt be my paramour.
Time to go, Dax.
Who are you?
Oh, yes, most convenient when you haven't even paid me yet. What? 5 pfennigs I'm waiting on.
Here, you wretch. Tell me, how came I here?
Oh, but an hour ago it was Helen this, Helen that, my paramour. Come live with me and be my love and hey, nonny, nonny, what's it? Be off with you! Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday,
Mr. Gentlemen.
What ails Faustus?
My sweet chamberfellow, had I lived with thee, then had I lived still. But now I die eternally. Look, comes he not? Comes he not?
What means Faustus?
Like he has grown into some sickness by being over solitary.
If it be so, we'll have physicians to cure him. 'Tis but a surfeit. Never fear, man.
a surfeit of deadly sin that hath damned both body and soul.
Yet, Faustus, look up to heaven. Remember, God's mercies are infinite.
But Faustus' offence can ne'er be pardoned. The serpent that tempted Eve may be saved, but not Faustus.
Yet, Faustus, call on God.
On God, whom Faustus hath abjured. On God, whom Faustus hath blasphemed. My God, I would weep. But the devil draws in my tears. Gush forth blood instead of tears, yea, life and soul. Oh, he stays my tongue. I would lift up my hands, but see, they hold them. They hold them.
Who, Faustus?
Lucifer and Mephistopheles. Gentlemen, I gave them my soul for my cunning.
God forbid.
Oh, God forbade it indeed, but Faustus hath done it. For vain pleasure of 24 years hath Faustus lost eternal joy and felicity. I writ them a bill with mine own blood. Ah. The date is expired, the time will come, and he will fetch me.
Why did not Faustus tell us of this before, that divines might have prayed for thee?
Oft have I thought to have done so. But the devil threatened to tear me in pieces if I named God, to fetch both body and soul if I once gave ear to divinity. And now 'tis too late. Gentlemen, away, lest you perish with me.
Well, what shall we do to save Faustus?
Talk not of me, but save yourselves and depart.
Pray thou, and we will pray for you, that God might have mercy upon thee.
Gentlemen, farewell. If I live till morning, I'll visit you. If not, Faustus is gone to hell.
Faustus, farewell.
Farewell, good friend.
Oh, Faustus, now hast thou but one bare hour to live, and then thou must be damned perpetually. Stand still, you ever-moving spheres of heaven, that time may cease and midnight never come. Fair nature's eye, rise, rise again and make perpetual day, or let this hour be but a year, a month, a week, a natural day, that Faustus may repent and save his soul. Oh, run slowly, slowly, you horses of night. The stars move still. Time runs, the clock will strike, the devil will come, and Faustus must be damned.
Now, Faustus, let thine eyes with horror stare into that vast, perpetual torture house. There are the Furies tossing damned souls on burning forks, their bodies boil in lead. There, alive quarters broiling on the coals that ne'er can die. This ever-burning chair is for o'er-tortured souls to rest them in. These that are fed with sops of flaming fire were gluttons, and loved only delicates, and laughed to see the poor starve at their fates. But yet all these are nothing. Thou shalt see then 1,000 tortures that more horrid be.
Oh, I have seen enough to torture me.
Nay, thou must feel them. Taste the smart of all. He that loves pleasure must for pleasure fall. And so I leave thee, Faustus, till anon. Then wilt thou tumble in confusion.
Oh, I'll leap up to my God.
Who pulls me down? See, see where Christ's blood streams in the firmament. One drop would save my soul. Half a drop. Oh, my Christ! Rend not my heart for naming of my Christ. Yet I will call on him. Ah, spare me, Lucifer! Where is it now? Is gone. See where God stretcheth out his arm and bends his ireful brows. Mountains and hills, come, come, and fall on me and hide me from the heavy wrath of God. No? No? Then will I headlong run into the earth. Earth, gape! No, it will not harbour me. You stars that reigned at my nativity, whose influence hath allotted death and hell, now draw up Faustus like a foggy mist into the entrails of yon labouring cloud, that when you vomit forth into the air, my limbs may issue from your smoky mouths, so that my soul may but ascend to heaven. Half the hour is past. 'Twill all be past anon. O God, if thou wilt not have mercy on my soul, yet for Christ's sake, whose blood hath ransomed me, impose some end to my incessant pain. Let Faustus live in hell 1,000 years, 100,000, and at last be saved. Oh, no. Oh, no end is limited to damned souls. Why wert thou not a creature wanting soul? Why is this immortal that thou hast? Cursed be the parents that engendered me. No, Faustus, curse thyself. Curse Lucifer that hath deprived thee of the joys of heaven. It strikes. It strikes. Now body turned to air. Or Lucifer will bear thee quick to hell. O soul, be changed into little water drops and fall into the ocean, ne'er be found. My God, my God, look not so fierce on me. Adders and serpents, let me breathe a while. Ugly hell, gape not. Come not, Lucifer. I'll burn my books. Mephistopheles!
Cut is the branch that might have grown full straight. Unburned is Apollo's laurel bough that sometime grew within this learned man. Faustus is gone. Regard his hellish fall, whose fiendful fortune may exhort the wise only to wonder at unlawful things, whose deepness doth entice such forward wits to practice more than heavenly power permits.
In Dr. Faustus by Christopher Marlowe, Faustus and Mephistopheles were played by John Heffernan, Wagner by Pearl Mackey, and Lucifer by Sean Mason. The Good Angel was played by Francis Tomalty, the Evil Angel, Rafferty Railton, Helen, Deborah Baker, and Emperor Charles V by Tim McMullen. Robin was played by Joseph Eyre, Ralph by Leo Wan, the First Scholar by Gerard McDermott, and the Knight by Simon Ludders. The music was composed and directed by Joseph Howard, and performed by musicians from the Society of Strange and Ancient Instruments, William Lyons, Louise Duggan, Amelia Benjamin, and Claire Solomon. Dr. Faustus was adapted and directed by Emma Harding.
Escape with a good book on BBC Sounds. Step into the F. Scott Fitzgerald classic, The Great Gatsby.
If personality is an unbroken series of successful gestures, then there was something gorgeous about him.
Find humour and heartbreak in Big Girl, Small Town by Michelle Gallen.
Magella thought that she should condense her whole list of things she wasn't keen on into a single item, other people.
Or fall in love with a new Sally Rooney novel, Beautiful World, Where Are You?
The woman at the table tapped her fingers in the beer mat, waiting. Her outward attitude had become more alert since the man had entered the room.
Listen on the BBC Sounds app.
Now here on Radio 3, with some of the best new recordings in classical music, here's Hannah French.
Hello, welcome to Record Review Extra. Here's a bright blast of Messiaen to get us off to a flyer tonight.